Welcome to the Willie Jackerson Experiment. I'm your host, the one, the only, Willie Jackerson. Oh, all right, so I have a really awesome show for you guys this week. I am taking a request from one of the listeners, and I think it was pretty interesting. They asked me if I knew the story about Houdini and how he died, and I didn't. And they're like, yeah, you know what? That would make for a good podcast. So I decided, awesome idea. Appreciate it. And I'm going to go ahead and do Houdini this week. So I think you guys will be interested to find out how he lived, some of the crazy stories, and how he died. And of course, find some metal for you guys. Maybe some magic metal. So I'll try to look around, see what I can come up with, and whatever songs I have will be posted in my Willie's Mile High Metal playlist, and we'll just keep building. I think I have pretty close to like 20 hours of music in there, so it's a lot of fun. And sometimes you know, when I'm just going on like a road trip or something, I'll just click on that Mile High Metal playlist and throw it on random, and it comes across some really interesting songs that I didn't even remember I had in there. So it's a lot of fun doing this every week. I really appreciate everyone joining me every week, and I've had a lot of outpouring of people coming around and just give me ideas and tell me, you know, kind of some interesting stories. So I'm going to keep those rolling. I like having these little interesting stories. And, you know, some of the stories I tell people at work, and they're just like, what? I didn't know that. And so it's pretty sweet. And, you know, I get people laughing and stuff like that. So, you know, the whole purpose I made this podcast is to have something that you can listen to, you know, just to help the day go by fast and make sure that we are making America metal again. I really appreciate Lars von Retriever with the metal trumps. I've been using those every week, and I just had a lot of fun with all the different ways that I put these together. So thanks so much for the support, and I really appreciate everybody. And remember, make every day an easy day. Peace.
This morning I made the call, the one that ends it all. Hanging up, I wanted to bribe, but this well gone dry.
Not for the money,
not for the fame,
not for the power. Just no more games,
folks, no more games.
But now safe
in the eye
of tornado. I can't replace the lie that last 1,000 days ago. No more living trapped inside.
In her way, I surely die.
In the eye of the tornado, blow me away. And they see a hurricane coming, and they just go boom, boom. You'll throw alone my name. You'll hate me
just the same.
You won't need your breath, and soon you'll meet your death. Not from the years, not from the muse. Not from the tears.
Just self-abuse.
But now safe
in the eye of tornado.
I can't replace the lie that last 1,000 days ago.
No more living trapped inside.
In her way, I surely die.
In the eye of the tornado.
Blow me away.
Who's to say?
What for me
to say? To say what for me to be? Who to say what for me to do?
Cause it ain't nothing, it'll be for me.
to my administration, we're fighting for medals.
Is there anything more fun than a medal Trump rally?
You will put new American metal into the spine of this nation.
White House will become the metal house.
And that will happen. We'll make America metal again. Again.
You love me, right?
No plan of opportunity.
The golden chance for me.
My future looks so bright.
And I think I see the light.
When he was 12, they organized a national television special and demanded he play a solo.
Group is amazing. This is incredible. You are incredible,
talented, passionate people.
Thank you.
This famous magician once said, "My brain is the key that sets my mind free." He was the most famous magician in history. Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we'll be learning more about the life and accomplishments of Harry Houdini. Emigrating from his home country of Hungary as a child in the late 1800s, Houdini settled in the United States. After an unsuccessful career, Houdini eventually started experimenting with escape acts. This is when his career really started to take off. By the end of the 19th century, Houdini was touring the top vaudeville theaters in America on the strength of his handcuff escapes. In fact, he even became known as the Handcuff King. In this particular act, he used technical expertise, physical dexterity, and of course, a bit of trickery to wow his audiences. He increased the difficulty of this trick by performing it underwater or by leaping off a bridge before his escape. By 1907, his wealth and fame were growing, and he continued to add new escape acts to his shows. The next year, he retired his handcuff trick, though he continued to place himself in increasingly difficult, unique, and dangerous scenarios. One of his most popular acts was the suspended straitjacket escape. The magician used this as a promotional tool, as thousands of people were able to see him at work. Houdini was fitted into a straitjacket and then hung upside down from a crane or a tall building. Onlookers were shocked to see him struggle to escape, but finally he would work his way free of the constraints and be victoriously lowered to the ground. He revealed some of the simpler secrets of his acts to fellow magicians in books and articles to spur interest in and the success of the field. Books like Handcuff Secrets, Miracle Mongers and Their Methods, and Magical Rope Ties and Escapes explained to readers the tips and tricks of the trade and helped prove that Houdini's talent was in his showmanship. Houdini also began showing an interest in filmmaking in the early years of the 20th century. He appeared in a number of films that showcased his magic. However, by 1923, he had abandoned this. The magician continued his successful career until his death in Detroit, Michigan on Halloween 1926 from a burst appendix. Houdini's memory has lived on ever since as a motivated worker, skilled self-promoter, unparalleled showman, and one of the finest magicians the world has ever seen.
Okay.
everybody knows. Catch me or I go Houdini. Time is passing like a solar eclipse. See you watching and you blow me a kiss. Wait your moment, baby, don't let it slip. Coming closer, are you reading my lips? They say I go, man, I go. Tell me all the ways you need me. I'm not here for long. Catch me or I go Houdini. I go, man, I go. To please me, everybody knows. Catch me or a go Houdini. If you're good enough, you'll find a way. Maybe you could cause a girl to change. Do you think about it night and day? Maybe you could be the one to make me stay. Everything you say is sounding so sweet, but do you practice everything that you preach? Give it to me. They say I go, man, I go. Tell me all the ways you need me. I'm not here for long. Catch me or I go Houdini. I go, man, I go. Prove you got the right to please me. Everybody knows. Catch me or I go Houdini. If you're good enough, you'll find a way. Maybe you could cause a girl to change. Do you think about it now?
Houdini also began lecturing around the country about, quote, fraudulent spiritualistic phenomena, end quote, going so far as to testify before Congress in 1926, lobbying for a bill to regulate mediums and fortune tellers, potentially threatening to charge those, quote, pretending to tell fortunes for reward or compensation, end quote, with a crime. Unfortunately for Houdini, his campaign would be a short-lived one. On October 11th, 1926, Houdini broke his left ankle during a performance in Albany, New York. Being a goddamned professional, Houdini finished the performance and went against doctor's orders by traveling to his next set of performances in Montreal. While in Montreal, Houdini took time out of his schedule for one of his favorite pastimes, giving a lecture at McGill University about what fraudulent hucksters spiritualists were. After a matinee performance several days later, some medical students from McGill visited Houdini in his dressing room. One of the students, Jocelyn Gordon Whitehead, presumably because Houdini's reputation as a jacked dude with incredible strength preceded him, asked if he could punch the magician in the stomach. Houdini said, yes. But before he could tighten his gut, the student dealt a few fast and hard blows.
Also, I just can't imagine going up to someone and be like, hey, can I punch you? And the person's like, yeah, give you a poof, 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 poof.
Yeah. You're just like, Jesus Christ.
Oh shit, are you dead? Big fan.
Like, it sounds like Houdini couldn't even get out a syllable of yes before the guy was throwing a couple haymakers. Yeah. Like, he was just revved up. The whole show was like, sick trick. I'm gonna punch the shit out of that guy when I get the chance. And Houdini was
but
like,
first, I'm gonna ask.
Houdini began to complain of stomach cramps that evening. during a 15-hour train ride to his next show in Detroit, Houdini was in a great deal of pain, both from his stomach and his shattered ankle, arriving in the Motor City with a 104-degree fever. A doctor was brought to the theater and diagnosed Houdini with acute appendicitis and told the magician he needed to get to the hospital immediately. Houdini refused, apparently declaring, quote, "I'll do this show if it's my last," end quote.
Oof.
Prophetic.
Yeah, I'd be like,
it was his last.
I'm not gonna do this show. I would go to the hospital.
Houdini somehow made it through the show, and eventually, his wife convinced him to finally go to a hospital. On October 24th, Houdini had an emergency operation to remove his already burst appendix. He underwent a second operation on October 28th. But on October 31st, 1926, Harry Houdini succumbed to a severe case of sepsis.
This is interesting because I always thought it was like, bam, and then he's just like, ow.
Yeah, yeah.
Dead, RIP. I didn't realize it was so protracted.
Yeah, he did another show.
Newspapers almost immediately began to speculate about foul play. With his final curtain drawn at the height of his popularity, it's time to jump into theories surrounding what brought down history's most famous magician. Our first theory, and the most widely accepted, is that Whitehead's meathead desire to hit another person accidentally caused the appendicitis that led to Houdini's demise. However, according to a 2013 study in the World Journal of Emergency Surgery, appendicitis as the result of blunt force trauma is extremely rare, to the extent that there is still debate whether it could ever happen. Of course, there's still the possibility that Houdini was developing appendicitis independently of the punches. Either way, this theory postulates that Houdini was simply the victim of random bad luck, and that refusing medical treatment certainly did not help matters.
If your appendix is not doing great, and maybe doctors out there can holler at us and let us know, if it got punched, would it make it worse?
I'm sure it wouldn't help.
No.
But like I just said, they're not even sure that it could be caused by blunt force trauma. It's possible that it was just gonna happen regardless. In fact, this might've actually been, in a weird way, if you wanna spin this, it could have been like a lucky turn of events if he went to the hospital.
Yeah, but in the same way, maybe it's unlucky because of the punch, he was like, well, I got punched, I'll be fine. Whereas if it would have happened without the punch.
I see.
Mm.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of cat that would be like, stomach's hurting out of nowhere, gotta go get this checked out.
Yeah.
He's probably more like, I've escaped from a milk can. I could do anything.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, hubris.
Go to the hospital if you're hurting.
Yeah.
Moral of the story.
Our second theory is that Whitehead was an assassin sent to try to murder Houdini by punching him to death. Houdini had no shortage of enemies, whether it was the other magicians he was constantly belittling, the individual mediums he was writing pamphlets discrediting, or the entire field of spiritualism that he was lobbying to make illegal. Perhaps someone got fed up with Houdini and wanted to prevent him from doing any more damage. Admittedly, this theory's a little weak. As we already said, trauma-caused appendicitis, if it even exists at all, is very rare. So it would be a pretty ineffective assassin who chooses that as their preferred means of murder.
I will say, it's a very narrow window, if this person was the perfect assassin, to know that there's a 0.001% chance that you could cause appendicitis from blunt force trauma, despite some people not even thinking that's possible.
Right.
But Whitehead was a med student.
Yes, but them saying that there's a very, very rare chance does not mean it's not like Smaug's scale that you have to shoot a little arrow into. It's just saying, yeah, like, the likeliness of that happening is,
yeah,
almost impossible.
Like,
not that there's a very specific technique.
Yeah, like
to
they don't have posters at med school where they're like, all right, here's the kill zone right,
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
If you punch right here, this guy's appendix is gonna go boom.
Our final theory is that someone from the spiritualist underworld poisoned Houdini while he was in the hospital. We've already mentioned the spiritualist community's potential motivation for assassination. And according to a Houdini biography, The Secret Life of Houdini, poisoning was their preferred method of murder. Despite receiving death threats, Houdini and Bess traveled without security. Apart from explaining why random med school students could punch him on a whim, this means there would have been plenty of opportunity for a spiritualist with a syringe to get to a Houdini while he recovered from surgery. Houdini was buried without an autopsy, meaning there is no evidence to disprove or prove this theory.
The poison's weird because he was clearly in distress well before he went to the hospital. So at that point, yeah, I guess you could finish the job, but it seems like he was in pretty dire straits. So
yeah, I mean, sepsis is not a joke.
Nothing funny about sepsis. I'm not laughing.
Seems like you're throwing down the gauntlet.
Sepsis. No laughs here.
What do you want from me, man?
Nothing. Just saying, we're not laughing at it.
I'm not. I'm laughing at you.
Are
not
you laughing at
I'm
sepsis?
I'm laughing at you not laughing at sepsis, which is not something to laugh about.
He's laughing at sepsis.
I'm laughing at you not laughing.
Houdini's sudden death shocked the world. The New York Times wrote of the collective disbelief that Houdini, quote, who so often had seemed to thousands to be cheating the very jaws of death, end quote, could die from the likes of appendicitis. If some angry spiritualists were behind Houdini's death, their plan ultimately backfired. Even in death, Houdini worked to discredit their field, as he and his wife had agreed that when one of them died, the other would try to contact their deceased spouse. For 3 years, Bess tried to make contact with her late husband. No medium was ever able to relay their prearranged code.
Cool.
Which is, I won't lie,
baller.
Baller as hell.
Yeah.
I feel like we should develop some sort of code between us that if one of us dies, well, I'll tell you what.
Oh.
In the event of my untimely death, fingers crossed it doesn't happen. If it does, I will do everything in my power to prove that ghosts are real. I will show up at every haunted house and I will paint the walls with like, ghosts are real. This is Ryan Bergara. Suck it, Shane. Stuff like that.
It'd be funny if like you, if ghosts were real and you were on this mission and you died and you just went straight to hell.
Would you even hunt for me if I died?
No.
My ghost? Not even in my memory, just like one?
I'd like turn on the radio every now and then. And you could do the thing that ghosts do, which is manipulate the airwaves.
What if you did a spirit box session and it was the clearest one ever, but it still sounded like,
hi, it's Ryan Bergara. I told you ghosts were real, suck my balls, big boy.
I'd be like, I don't know, dude.
Since we're unable to reliably communicate with Harry Houdini, the mystery of whether he was murdered by slighted fortune tellers or simply the victim of gastrointestinal trauma remains, like the secrets behind some of his amazing tricks, unsolved.
There's conjecture around his death here, but I feel pretty safe in saying that he likely suffered injuries or had appendicitis before.
It's possible.
Whatever, jokes aside, promise me you'll investigate my apartment after I die, if I die.
I promise.
Don't cross your fingers. You uncross those fingers. Promise me right now on camera.
I promise.
Are you crossing anything?
Like, no.
You promise what?
I promise that I will ghost hunt after you die to see if you're out there.
We could just cut out the wink. It was genuine.